By the time I had clambered up to the sod roof, the heavy truck was coming back down the road. Through the scope, I could see that there were 5 men on it, 4 in the cab and 1 who was on the open bed, cradling a machine gun, surrounded by loot. He was crouched between 2 refrigerators, but I had a clear shot at him. Held my fire, not wanting to draw attention. The truck stopped in front of the house, sat for a minute, and turned in. The window was probably bulletproof, but I sighted on the driver's face and squeezed off around. He jumped as it ricocheted, whining, leaving an opaque star on the plastic, and the man in back opened up. A steady stream of bullets hummed over my head. I could hear them thumping into the sandbags of the tower. He didn't see me. The truck wasn't 10 meters away when the shooting stopped. He was evidently reloading, hidden behind the refrigerator. I took careful aim, and when he popped up to fire, I shot him in the throat. The bullet being a tumbler, it exited through the top of his skull. The driver pulled the truck around in a long arc so that when it stopped, the door to the cab was flush with the door of the house. This protected them from the tower and also from me, though I doubted they yet knew where I was. A T-16 makes no flash and very little noise. I kicked off my shoes and stepped cautiously onto the top of the cab, hoping the driver would get out on his side. Once the door opened, I could fill the cab with ricocheting bullets. No good. The far door, hidden from me by the roof's overhang, opened first. I waited for the driver and hoped that Mary Gay was well hidden. I shouldn't have worried. There was a deafening roar, then another and another. The heavy truck rocked with the impact of thousands of tiny flechettes, one short scream that the second shot ended. I jumped from the truck and ran around to the back door. Mary Gay had her mother's head on her lap, and someone was crying softly. I went to them, and Mary Gay's cheeks were dry under my palms. "Good work, dear." She didn't say anything. There was a steady, heavy dripping sound from the door, and the air was acrid with smoke and the smell of fresh meat. We huddled together until dawn. I had thought April was sleeping, but in the dim light her eyes were wide open and filmed. Her breath came in shallow rasps. Her skin was gray parchment and dried blood. She didn't answer when we talked to her. A vehicle was coming up the road, so I took the rifle and went outside. It was a dump truck with a white sheet draped over one side, and a man standing in the back with a megaphone repeating, "Wounded! Wounded!" I waved, and the truck came in. They took April out on a makeshift litter and told us which hospital they were going to. We wanted to go along, but there was simply no room. The bed of the truck was covered with people in various stages of disrepair. Mary Gay didn't want to go back inside because it was getting light enough to see the men she had killed so completely. I went back in to get some cigarettes and forced myself to look. It was messy enough, but just didn't disturb me that much. That bothered me, to be confronted with a pile of human hamburger and mainly notice the flies and ants and smell. Death is so much neater in space. We buried her father behind the house, and when the truck came back with April's small body wrapped in a shroud, we buried her beside him. The commune sanitation truck came by a little later, and gas-masked men took care of the jumpers' bodies. We sat in the baking sun, and finally Mary Gay wept for a long time, silently.